This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. As part of the administration's effort to promote production of fuel from renewable sources, create jobs, and mitigate the effects of climate change, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on Thursday announced a series of measures during his speech to the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. He also urged Congress to pass a short-term extension of current subsidies for production of corn ethanol. New measures include the publication of a final rule to implement the Biomass Crop Assistance Program. Through this program, 8 additional bio-based product categories and 600 products will be eligible for federal procurement preference. Vilsack also described a 5-year agreement with the Federal Aviation Administration to develop aviation fuel from forest and crop residues and other green feedstocks, with the goal of decreasing dependence on foreign oil and stabilizing aviation fuel costs. Under the partnership, the agencies will bring together experience in research, policy analysis, and air transportation sector dynamics to assess the availability of different kinds of feedstocks that could be processed by biorefineries to produce jet fuels. Vilsack also provided highlights of a biofuels report prepared by USDA's Economic Research Service that says replacing more petroleum with cost-competitive domestic biofuels reduces crude oil imports, thereby lowering prices for energy and benefiting the U.S. economy. Regarding higher ethanol or E15 pumps at gas stations, Vilsack said USDA would partially underwrite distribution of 10,000 gas pumps and storage systems capable of dispensing the fuel. There are 170,000 gas stations nationwide. Each new pump cost $25,000, which means the total cost of outfitting each station to dispense E15 fuel would be $250 million. There's a growing buzz about whether or not U.S. farmland prices will be the next asset bubble to burst. But despite all the talk about the commercial real estate market and how it's under pressure, when you look at farm real estate, it has really held up, even increasing fairly rapidly over the last couple of years. Characterizing the current farm real estate scenario as a bubble may be off the mark, according to John Anderson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Anderson thinks it makes sense to define a bubble as prices for an asset that are just too high and not really justified by market fundamentals. If you look at farmland, there are some pretty strong fundamentals in the farm real estate market. Commodity prices are historically quite high and interest rates are very low, and those are both factors that provide a lot of strong support for farm real estate values. Beginning Friday, public television audiences across the country can watch Food Sense, a revealing documentary that unearths the origins of our nation's food supply, as well as its ability to sustain the same quality and availability for a rapidly expanding American population over the next 10, 20, or even 30 years. Phil Limpert, a.k.a. the Supermarket Guru, and a group of industry experts illuminate a one-hour public television special that asks and answers important questions surrounding the nation's food supply by tracing a simple American breakfast and following its path from farm to factory to dining table. Food Sense examines organic and conventional farming production and processing methods. Viewers may participate in an interactive website with chat boards moderated by Limpert and other industry experts. Check your local listings for air dates. Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry encourages hunters to harvest more deer and assures that the excess of venison, a great source of low-fat protein, finds its way to the table of hungry persons. Nearly all of Ohio's counties participated in the program last winter, resulting in the donation of 122,221 pounds of processed venison to people in need. FHFH has 130 volunteer coordinators in 25 states, and annual donations of venison totaled 1.72 million meals. This school year, Butterball has partnered with Weekly Reader to develop Celebrate Agriculture, classroom learning materials designed to educate children on agriculture and the socially responsible practices that lead to healthy animals, food, and consumers. The program, designed for students in grades 3 through 6, is aimed at providing fun, informative classroom activities that reinforce education standards and engage students in learning process. Semis, school buses, and large pickup trucks will be required to cut fuel consumption and emissions by 10 to 20% under first-ever fuel efficiency plans for trucks released Monday by the Obama administration. For the first time, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Transportation Department announced proposed fuel economy requirements and reductions in tailpipe emissions for medium and heavy-duty trucks, beginning with those sold in the 2014 model year and into the 2018 model year. The proposal, which is expected to be finalized next summer, seeks a 20% reduction in carbon dioxide emissions and fuel consumption from big rig combination tractors by 2018. Heavy-duty pickup trucks, along with large vans, would face separate gasoline and diesel truck standards phased in beginning in the 2014 model year. Vehicles running on gasoline would need to reach a 10% cut in fuel consumption and emissions by 2018, while diesel vehicles would need to hit 15% reductions by the same year. Cattle and calves on feed for slaughter market in the United States for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 or more head totaled 10.8 million head on October 1st. The inventory was 3% above October 1st of 2009. The inventory included 6.6 million steers and steer calves, up 3% from the previous year. This group accounted for 61% of the total inventory. Heifers and heifer calves accounted for 4.12 million head, also up 3% from 2009. Placements in feedlots during September totaled 2.46 million, 3% above 2009. Net placements were 2.41 million head. And during September, placements of cattle and calves weighing less than 600 pounds were 510,000, 600 to 699 pounders were 455,000, 700 to 799 pounders were 602,000, and 800 pounder and greater were 895,000. Marketings of fed cattle during September totaled 1.8 million, 2% above 2009. Other disappearance totaled 54,000 during September, which was 15% above 2009. The National Weather Service's outlook for winter 2010-2011 foresees a warmer, wetter season for much of Illinois. The Pacific Northwest should brace for a colder and wetter than average winter, while most of the South and Southeast will be warmer and drier than average through February 2011. According to the annual winter outlook released this week by NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, a moderate to strong La Niña will be the dominant climate factor influencing weather across most of the U.S. this winter. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.